National guidelines recommend that kids and teens get 60 minutes of physical activity every day. Those guidelines have been around for a while, but they just don't seem to be working in the battle against childhood obesity. In fact, only 1 in 4 American kids gets the recommended amount of exercise. Dr. Gregory Meyer explored that problem in a recent paper for the British Journal of Sports Medicine. And he told me that now pediatricians and sports medicine experts are focusing less on the time kids put in and more on their activity.
We've seen that we've been looking at a lot of adult-based recommendations, and we've kind of let those spill down to our youth, and we've kind of gotten away from more of the gymnastics-based activities for kids and physical education, and now we're seeing more continuous-based and aerobic-based activities being recommended for kids, and it's just not effective. So we wanted to spur on some discussion about what many current guidelines keep reproducing, saying that 60 minutes of physical activity is what we need every day for kids. Every guideline keeps pounding this home, but we're not hitting that mark, and we see our youth continuously getting more obese and less active, so we got to do something different.
Well, what sorts of activities do kids tend to do in PE at school these days? I mean, does schools even offer physical education time anymore?
That's an important question, and that's the root of part of where we think we can actually reach a lot of these and make a difference. As you know, there's probably only one mechanism where we can actually reach a majority of our youth, and that's our education system. It's the infrastructure's there, and then we have these people that are they're educated and taught how to teach children to move and play. They are physical education teachers, so their schooling has put them in the right position to reach these kids, and they have the background. And then we continue to take away that opportunity with huts that we use physical education as where we need to make a budget balance. We cut a teacher here, we cut PE there, and PE is continually being the lowest common denominator where we think we can cut. What kind of activity they do in PE? Well, that can vary based on the instructor, and we have a lot of great physical education instructors, but we're seeing some trends where we're just starting to do more aerobic-based movements. And again, part of this can be driven by the litigious nature of our society, where we might be less likely to get involved in risky movements or climbing a rope where they might fall. And we've seen some of this in schoolyards and where some schools are now banning running at recess or stopping kids from having balls at recess due to fear of being sued or liability. So we see some of these trends pushing us towards safer, non-strength building activities, and many schools now often just have once a week where kids are involved in PE, and that's just not enough.
Well, now let's get back to the article that you co-authored in the British Journal of Sports Medicine. In it, you say focusing merely on time, the 60 minutes a day, doesn't necessarily provide young people with all the development they could be getting from exercise. But let's start with motor skills. What are these before we start talking about them?
So motor skills are skills that are needed to support more complex movements. We call them some basic fundamental movement skills. So, for example, a squat maneuver. If you take a picture of a child, they can squat, put their butt nearly to the floor perfectly with great technique as they're a child. But then if you take a 13-year-old adolescent and you tell the average adolescent to do a squat maneuver, it'll look very poor. They've lost the skills. And part of that's because their proprioception and their motor controls or their ability to control movements is severely disrupted by their rapid growing bones. They're growing faster than their muscles. So the neuromuscular system is going through haywire. What we have to do is give them both motor skills, which are examples of exit movements that are basic to every movement, so squatting, lunging, the things that are required that can build upon throwing a ball, hitting a ball, catching a ball, skills that are more complex, but that children are going to need as they develop into trying to move on to more complex sports or activities that they'll enjoy for a lifetime.
I'm speaking with Dr. Gregory Meyer about how to make sure kids get enough physical activity every day. Dr. Meyer is the director of research in the Division of Sports Medicine at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. So if you reach adulthood without good motor skills, what are we setting ourselves up for?
There's a good analogy to kind of drive that home. Would you rather teach a 5-year-old child a foreign language, or would you rather teach a 40-year-old a new language? It's just very difficult to teach those new skills. But if you start early, there's a very high level of neuroplasticity, which means that the the body is and the brain especially is open to adapt and respond to new stimuli. So as a child, if we get them involved in these movement skills and more importantly, strength building skills. So they have to build that basal level of strength that will support the movements that they want to do as they get older. What we can do is if we teach them when they're young, we can continue to build upon them as they grow. And we call this a training age. How many years has a child been involved in these types of training activities or supportive skill-based activities? And then as they are an adolescent, we can do more complex and more demanding tasks that they'll benefit from. The whole idea is starting early to give them those skills when it's not so difficult to manage. Teaching an adolescent a jumping and landing skill, for example, is very difficult because, as I mentioned, their neuromuscular system is going haywire. They have these increased demands. They've just gotten much taller. They've gotten much more mass, so they're bigger. And their center of mass is harder to control. So all these things are going haywire on them. Yet we're trying to teach them this high-load, demanding task when they haven't been given those skills before. And part of this is going back to physical education when we were younger and then back in the 1950s was very gymnastic-based and strength-based. We would do somersaults and teach us these basic movements. We would climb rope. We would do skill and strength-based activities. And now we're seeing a trend that might be more aerobic-based or gameplay without instruction. I think that's something we could also look at as a potential mechanism to make change.
So if you could have your wishes come true, what sort of activities would you really be having these kids do?
We would have our very youngest children participating in doing somersaults and doing squats and lunging. My colleague, Dr. Avery Fagenbaum, has gotten into schools and taken the first 10 minutes of physical education, and he takes balloons. So he keeps it fun, keeps it interesting, but he takes balloons and makes the children hold balloons and do movements as directed. So it's basically teaching them control of their bodies and during strength maneuvers. And he does that in the first 10 minutes of PE, and then they go on and do their regular courses. And he found significant increases in all of their motor skills, but their power base, and also what was really interesting, their aerobic-based activities improved as well. So we made them better movements, and they were more efficient after doing these types of training programs. So I think those are the type of activities we want to start young, but as they mature and they develop, we want to make them more complex, and then they go into more skill-based activities that will lead to success in sports, and also exposing them to a variety of sports when they're young, so that they can find the sports that they may have the most talent in.
Okay, so that sounds like good advice for parents, and that was my next question. I mean, some advice for parents maybe to, when they're young, let them explore a variety of sports and work on just their, like you said, motor skills or activity level. Anything else that they should be thinking of?
That's a great idea, getting them involved in a variety of sports, because in PE is probably the only way they're going to get exposure to some of those diverse sports that may not be basketball, football, or soccer, where they might not have the opportunity to play in. So they can get some exposure to tennis and other racket-type sports that are also going to be lifetime sports that they might be able to play for a longer period beyond their school years. And we've seen there's data that supports some of the Olympian athletes. They were multiple sports and specialized in their current sport very late in life. So creating that robust system of neuromuscular control and movement skills and power skills and strength with multiple sports may be the best way to go. And we have data to suggest that young girls who specialize earlier tend to have more problems with knee pain during their adolescent years. So the idea was with that study is that having a variety of sports may take some of the stresses and reduce those risks of those overuse injuries that we hear about.
Dr. Greg Meyer, thank you so much for talking with me on Sound Medicine.
Thank you very much, Barbara. You have a great day, and I appreciate you having me.
Dr. Gregory Meyer is the Director of Research in the Division of Sports Medicine at Cincinnati Children's Hospital.